The gays are giving you relationship advice.
You're welcome. Are you ready, Brian?
Or Dear Abby?
Oh, Jesus. Just pick one. Either one is fine.
Is that too aggressive?
No.
Hello there, and welcome to Pink Milk, your Star Wars podcast. For us, super fans.
And those of us who are forced to listen to them.
Today is someday, and someday, we're Dear Abby-ing that galaxy far, far away.
I love Dear Abby.
Are you with me, Abby?
Abby's with you.
Let's do this thing and drink up.
I love you.
I know you. Come out, buy you a drink.
Papa Rudy Duty is.
For the
but...
duty part, for sure. good. How about yourself? How was your week?
No, it's been great.
Excellent.
Fun in the sun. Mm-hmm. I had a wonderful, wonderful Friday evening with a bunch of the Steam Queens on our Discord channel. That was a lot of fun.
Yes, sorry, couldn't make it. I was sleeping.
I always wonder. I think people would be shocked if you ever showed up at something.
Well, a few times when we used to have after dark, I used to show up and they used to be like, what? Who's that guy?
No, honestly, thank you everyone who came and hung out on Friday. It was such a nice time. It was so lovely to see the Steam Queens. I've missed them since the live streams have stopped. But I have to say, this was almost better because I could just hang out. I wasn't putting on a show. I wasn't trying to move the conversation forward. We were just chillaxing.
Well, that's awesome.
It was great.
That's awesome.
So thank you, everyone, who came and attended. And next time, I hope there's more of you. It'll be fun. We're going to do this more often.
Thank you.
Always on Fridays. Because
always on Fridays.
Friday seems to be the one night a week that I can stay up late. Nobody else in the house does. So it's kind of like Brian's day. It's like daddy night.
Daddy night.
And I want to hang out in the steam room. Because that's just the kind of daddy I am.
It's going to be that show, huh?
You know what?
No,
I think it's time to get into the show, though.
Okay.
Because we had a wonderful time last night watching Return of the Jedi.
Nobody stayed up for it, but we did have a good time watching it.
I'm very upset that I couldn't make it.
I mean, it's only 2 hours and 2 minutes, but no one. Maybe it's because we've seen it thousands of times.
You know, I'm really upset that I didn't get to see it at the movie theater. And I tried to watch it last night on family movie night. And yep, not going to lie, dozed off.
Well, didn't you just tell me about a conversation with Buck? And mm-hmm. then how excited Buck was finally to be able to see it outside the house and be able to
stay up for
it. So
he didn't fall asleep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean,
it's something about being at home and the popcorn and the comfy couch. And
yeah. And for that movie in particular, there's something about, it's like a comfort movie. I've grown with it for like my entire life. I've had that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it just gives me warm and fuzzies. It's like a big warm blanket.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what it is. I just start to doze off.
Well, I'd like to say it's a Star Wars film, but truthfully, it's every Saturday night for me.
That's true.
You know, family movie night usually ends up with, I'm just going to disappear slowly.
Didn't
back
used
out of
to be
the room.
That way. And now the other two have decided, oh, wait, Daddy's exit means we can go upstairs and play video
this
games.
Is true.
And it's
this
usually
is
Michael
true.
And I who finish the movie.
Well, you know what I'm really looking forward to is when we can all watch adult shows and they're not all kid focused. And
yep.
Maybe that's part of it.
Maybe.
I mean, I know that Star Wars would not fall into that, but it would fall into a special category of overwatched.
Like the video game Overwatch?
Nope, not like the video game Overwatch. Like, just like it says, Overwatched.
I don't think so. I don't know if that's ever possible.
I think so. We'll take a poll of the people in the house and I'll let you know.
You know, was it last week that you talked about that there's three of you non-Star Wars fans and two of us super fans?
I don't want to be called a non-super fan. I'm a casual at best fan. I enjoy it for what it is for the moment that I watch it.
Mm-hmm.
And I have always, my whole life, been the same guy. I never watch a show twice. I don't like to watch shows twice, ever. So for me to have watched all of these 1,000 times, I'm a nice guy.
And then along came Daddy.
And then you went and you recruited one of the kids, and now they're super fans who want to watch it all the time,
too. I will
too.
Say, there may only be 2 super fans and 3 casual fans in the house, but somehow I feel like the casual fans ultimately win.
I don't want to point fingers, but there was someone this morning who said that they really don't like Star Wars. Someone in the house.
You know what, Jack?
I'm not saying who it is. I'm going to leave it there. So Jack, you actually have 2 super fans, 2 forced to listen to it, and 1...
You know what? It better not have been Jack, because Jack just got me to buy him $20 in V-Bucks.
Hey, I'm never going to say who it is. Period. Maybe it was one of the dogs.
You know what?
No. What?
I like this banter that you and I have. Mm-hmm. It's a playful banter. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of aggression involved. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a great conversation and a great segue to talk about what we are going to talk about today.
Well, I was wondering. I usually don't know what we're talking about. It's usually just bestowed upon me once mm-hmm. I get here in the chair. So what is it? What are we talking about today?
I'm sure none of the listeners ever put together there's no plan.
Nope.
No, we're going to talk about Princess Leia and Han Solo and their relationship.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because I've been thinking a lot about this anyways. Oh, and the
God
last night.
Okay.
Last night we were watching and I'm like, you know what? Leia strolls up in the greatest Star Wars costume mm-hmm. ever designed. I'm not sure if the Bausch outfit can ever be beaten. Also, putting this on air right now, looking forward to my birthday present this year, Thomas, my $70 Lego helmet of the Bausch helmet. Thank you. May 30th. There's 2 other things that the other kids. I'm recruiting my children to buy me things this year.
Okay.
But here she is. She strolls up, risks her life to get her man out of carbonite. She just said, I love you. He just responded, I know. And then he was put away for a few months. And they went and got him out. Where did that passion come from? Or where did that passion go that their relationship hence fizzled out in the next movie? You know?
Hmm.
And we That's have been question. We've been in a relationship for how long?
They had kids. Or 1 kid in this case.
Or 2.
Do we know if there's another one?
Well, is Kylo Ren someone different than Ben okay. Solo?
Okay. There's 1 physical body of a person. They might have
Not
multiple
anymore.
Personalities.
Oh, too soon?
Wow.
Too
it's
soon?
It's going to be that show.
Sorry, Raylos. I love
so,
you.
So, you know, that's
back.
The sad part, actually. Mm-hmm. They never really explained what happened. Truthfully, they literally never said in those additional
I mean, they
shows.
Kind of alluded to some things.
Yeah, that they just didn't get along.
Yeah, and that, you know, that she pushed too hard and she pushed Ben away and all those things to be off with Luke. And then he fell to the dark side, yada, yada, yada. But I'm curious, like, what happened? Because they, here's the deal. Let's be honest. I think you and I have a great relationship.
I know, thank
Han
you.
And Leia. Han and Leia have never really had... And you know what? I know we're going to get canceled for this. I'm probably going to lose like half our listeners. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure if Han and Leia ever should have gotten together. They do nothing but bicker. From the minute, get into the garbage chute, flyboy, to like, you could use a goodnight kiss. To Han Solo's spoiled brat behavior. Luke? You could tell that to Luke, but you couldn't tell it to me. Like they
definitely
don't have a great relationship to begin with.
Yeah, I mean, from you know, hearing that, you know, nothing's worse than being around that couple that bickers all the time. So mm-hmm. you know,
but I'm curious. So, like, what did you look for in a relationship? Why was I the keeper? What is it? What are some of the? Well, I want to break this conversation down into the courtship.
Okay.
The dating.
Okay.
And then the kids. Because honestly, kids change an entire relationship, which we'll
get
into. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that played into a lot of what Han and Leia's deals were. And Yeah. So, but I don't personally feel that Han and Leia had a great foundation laid before them before they got married and had a child. So, what was it for you? What do you look for in a foundation for a relationship? If you were married and have a healthy relationship, I would like to know.
Fun.
Comment.
Fun. Sense of humor. A sense of easygoingness. A sense of direction. A mentality of, you know, we came to this opinion. So I don't want to say I had this suggestion. This was something we came together and created, which is, would you rather be right or would you rather have a relationship? And I think that came because both of us had been in prior longer relationships, you know, greater than a year or two mm-hmm. years. You know, so we did have a foundation of what we knew didn't work for us. So I think by the time we had gotten together, we were in different spaces. You know, we always had the same, we had one very common knowing on the inside, which is I'm going to find someone, that person will be with me forever. But when that is the right time and when it is the right person, and I think that's what we have.
I agree.
Then that kind of motto of would you rather be right or would you rather have your relationship? I will say as the years have gone by, sometimes we tend to forget that,
mm-hmm.
but we always come back to that because we are just human beings and sometimes you'd rather just be right. And you know what?
Yep.
The greatest part of being in a relationship sometimes is the knowing when you just need to let the other person be right and smile. And if they force you to do a podcast, you just do it. You know what I'm saying?
You know, so here's some
things. I'm kidding.
I'm curious sometimes about... because I think a lot of times on the show we talk about being queers being so different. And it is different in a lot of ways. Being a gay person in society is very different for a lot of people, but it's also exactly the same.
Yeah.
I feel
it's more the same than it's not the same, personally, but that's my...
Yeah, I mean, probably. I do think when it comes to, like, relationships as two people who are in our mid-40s and soon to be mid-50s, we didn't have...
It only gets better, folks. Trust me.
You know, it really does. But we didn't have relationships to look up to. And I do think when it comes to relationships, especially us as gay men specifically, like we didn't have a lot of role models to look up to even think that being together in a long-term relationship was even possible. And I think because we knew we both wanted that forever someone and knew that's what we were going mm-hmm. to get... was something unique back then. I don't know if it's still that way. I hope not.
I will say that we did not, I agree with the statement, we did not have a lot of positive role models to look up to. But what we did have, we had the people that sacrificed mm-hmm. and gave up a lot for the rest of us to be able to be in this position, to be able to have it, to be so cavalier about, yes, I have it, and it's normal in a way.
Yep. So. But I think some of these things are where, like, Han and Leia probably kind of struggled at the very beginning. Look, I mean, Leia was adopted. We've now seen Kenobi.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God. And if you're an adoptive parent, always tell your children from the very beginning. Don't let it be some truth bomb, like, years later because you don't think an infant or a four-year-old or a toddler can handle knowing that they were adopted, like they can handle it.
It was the way it was back then, which is interesting because it really was the way it was back then, collectively, from what we see from a media standpoint that they've showed us. And I don't think that it would be that's, and obviously the person who wrote it, you know, was in that period of time. I wonder if it was written today, whether or not that would be the case, whether or not they would have done so. Because their whole idea was to have hid them to protect them.
Yeah. Okay, I don't.
So it
I
wasn't
think...
even that they didn't tell them. It was they were hiding to protect them.
Oh yeah, but I think. I mean, I don't think that story beat could change because they had to. I mean, that's
right.
Sadly, what happened, they had to. And sometimes I know in real life there are children with bio siblings out there that they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes because the people on the other end don't know because some of these their bio parents have multiple
and
children.
And we would be
people.
In that position, 100%. Truth be told, so.
But what I think Leia always knew she was adopted. Like, we got confirmation in that with her conversations with Bail in Kenobi, but I think she always knew. Leia always came across to me, and now we've really seen it, but she always came across as a person who had a really, really good, solid upbringing, and mm-hmm. she was treated with respect and had opinions. I mean, if there is anyone in Star Wars who is more articulate about their setting their own boundaries, it's Leia.
Well, she had a... Like, it appears as if though she was raised in a very...
Yeah, which is great.
Yeah, fortunate she also, situation.
Yeah, she came from a place of privilege, too. Mm-hmm. But whereas Han Solo always struck me as someone who did not have the greatest childhood, we learned in Solo he never really knew who his father was. Like, right. He was an orphan, we learned later in life. I don't know when that happened, when he joined Lady mm-hmm. Proxima's group and all that, but it looked like he had been there for a long time. His story turned out to be very much like an Oliver Twist type of story. And I think those two worlds are so different from one another that I don't see a ton of respect for those things. Like, I know for me, like, mm-hmm. you had a really privileged, very healthy upbringing with a family that was very tight-knit. I mean, when I hear your stories and I think of
and the, even to this day, really.
Yeah. So. Oh, yeah, yeah, 100%. Yeah. Like, I feel like there is such an immigrant story in your background. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, we've said it before, but your grandparents mm-hmm. are fresh off the boat.
Yes, they
so
are.
So you are only second-generation United States citizen. Correct. And there is something that as a generalization, as a blanket statement, that, like, immigrant families are oftentimes really tight because they all came here or wherever from somewhere else and understand how important it is to be really close. At the end of the day, all you have is your family.
Mm-hmm.
That was something I never had.
No.
You know, I mean, I didn't, like, grow up in squalor or things like that. I think on the surface, if you just looked at the picture, which is exactly what I think my mother worked very hard to paint, and I'm not putting this out there to disparage my mother. I think she did the best she could with what she had. But on the surface, here's the story, and it's a really wonderful metaphor. But, like, my mother would always decorate. And my mother's way into decorating. I mean, I'm very proud of her. She got herself in
She's very good at it.
National magazine and everything a few years ago. But, like, she would always decorate the house from the outside window in. We had our Christmas tree. We had to decorate the tree. I'm not joking. Yeah. We would, you know my mother.
Mm-hmm.
We'd have to go to the sidewalk to see how the Christmas tree looked from the sidewalk. And that was how the whole life, our whole life was.
I would imagine
was.
That a doctor would really diagnose and pull that apart.
Well,
sorry, Dad.
I mean, let's be real. I still see that same behavior on Facebook. Like, she's still portraying this thing that does not exist on Facebook. And I think there's a lot of people on social media who portray this thing that doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, for us here and for me online, I work so hard to be honest and be authentic. Right or wrong, other things, like, I just try, because I think in today's society in particular, it's so important to be authentic,
mm-hmm.
because we can hide behind these things. We can create this false identity in this false world that is, like, not healthy for you, and it's certainly not healthy for other people who might be going through struggles to see, like, someone, like, you know, like, people listen to us, and I think it's really great that we are authentic about our ups and downs and our struggles, because I wouldn't want someone to listen to us and go, everything's perfect all the time, given our situations, right? But I think my mother worked so hard at portraying this perfect family that really kind of messed us all up, because I grew up in a place where there was no family. Like, I mean, there's just no family. We were four individuals living under one roof.
At least she tried.
But
she
did try. 100%. Yeah. 100%.
As opposed to.
Yeah, but I feel like that's something, that's probably a similar upbringing to Han Solo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I attributed that to Luke when I was younger. I really connected to Luke in those things. But where, long story short, that's one of the things I really was attracted to you for, was this idea of what family was. Because I didn't have any concept of what a family was. I just knew I wanted different than what I had. And you were able to provide something that was very, very different, you know?
Because I didn't even know. I mean, that's just what I knew. Mm-hmm. So that's what I was going to have. There was no questions. That's what I was going to have. And when I found the one, then tungsten later.
But we were just talking earlier today, like, we were together, honestly, when we got together in 2007, we all know 2007 to like 2009 were some very hard times in this country for, you know, that was the collapse of the housing market,
the Great Recession, they called it.
Yeah. And we were definitely victims of that. Tom was in real estate. I was...
Mm-hmm. Terrible time.
I was in my mid-20s and really just starting my adult
selling
life.
Selling $30,000 houses. That used to be $400,000.
But I was at the very beginning of my adult life and was living like hand-to-mouth, paycheck to paycheck, and I lost everything too. And so we moved in together, and we moved into one of your houses at the time, because he had multiple. And...
emphasize had.
But you moved to the you lived in the suburbs. You had been in the suburbs for a very long time, and I was like a downtown. I was at that time in the mid 2000s.
Downtown Judy Brown.
Julie Brown, not Judy.
Oh, sorry. No, Judy.
But at the time in the mid 2000s, I was really connected to the downtown scene in Phoenix. I knew like
the scene. We're talking Phoenix, right?
Yes.
Oh, the scene. Yes. The scene.
Anyhow, I was really having a very hard time in the suburbs. And I was like, we need to move. And my husband, who didn't want to go downtown, who didn't like downtown at the time, packed everything up and we moved into a place together downtown. And we were just talking about this morning on our dog walk. Because it meant so much to me, because I had no concept of someone doing something for somebody else. Like, that was just not what I grew up with.
Well, I'm pretty fantastic.
So I'm curious, like, I think for us, it really is an opposites attract kind of moment. Also, I'm not sure what's with the Paula Abdul resurgence, but Lord knows on SiriusXM, Paula Abdul's on like at least 2 times a day.
Really?
Yeah, so good for her. Mm-hmm. But, you know, opposites attract, MC Cool Cat. I'm Paula Abdul. And opposites attract.
Oh, for sure. I mean, in this case, that you know, we balance each other out, but it's interesting over the years we've, you know, we're almost the same,
you know,
in a way. I don't want to be the exact same. I don't need the exact same.
But so, like, why, what was it that Han and Leia couldn't do that? Like, because you made an allusion to that couple, which all of us in a relationship have had to go to dinner to that with that couple, and it is...
Or they've been your clients.
Or, you know
in
what?
In your car, and they're being that couple. And you're like, oh, God.
These people are buying us a million-dollar
house
together?
Should they be buying a house?
And let's take a pause real quick.
Okay.
If you were listening to this, it is time to be honest with yourself. If you are that couple, it might be time to rethink some things. Seek some therapy. Have a real conversation.
Can I have a break? I might need to go think. Just kidding.
But yeah, like, what do you think it was that they weren't able to give to one another?
I think they, truthfully, my opinion is they did not seem like people that really listened to anybody else's opinions other than themselves. So they seemed to have a one-track mind about the Death Star and the Stormtroopers and that whole Star Wars thing. So, and the Force.
Yep.
Anyway, you know, I don't feel like they ever listened to one another.
Nope.
Now, was I at their table? No. But if I had to give you an answer, that's my answer.
No, but I tend to agree. I think, again, Leia was a princess. Let's not forget, she came from a place of privilege.
Hence
and she,
the whole
Princess Leia Organa. But, like, she did great things. Mm-hmm. We've had a lot of those conversations on our After Darks, on our live streams about Mon Mothma.
Mm-hmm.
Because she clearly has privilege. Like, yes, she's doing great things, but there are aspects to the society that she's trying to protect that she has no concept of what it's like. Like, I was really excited when we dug into a little bit of that with Mon and Vel.
Mm-hmm.
Hope we get more of that in season two. But I think Leia was just so you, and Leia is a very headstrong person. And I love someone, you know, honestly, you and I are both a couple of bowls in a China shop. Sometimes I think you and I are both very headstrong people. And I think, and I also think we are similar to Leia in the way I don't think she arrived to those things lickety split. I think she put a lot of time, a lot of investment to get to where she had a belief in something.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what made her so steadfast in that. And because she was a princess, everyone listened to her. And so they just kind of followed along.
Whereas, that's what I do.
Whereas Han Solo, I think, was...
My princess was, Leia.
Oh my God. That's such an honor. Thank you. I'm going to boots the house down. Still don't know what that means. Also don't know if I use it correctly.
But boots the house down?
Yeah, I don't know.
What's that mean?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Something that... Does she say it?
No, I think it's something the young gays say.
Oh. Huh.
But
we'll
I think,
ask Alexa.
But also, I think Han Solo was such a loner that he didn't know how to rely on somebody else. And I think, unfortunately, they were never able to like let go of their independent selves and mm-hmm. become a unit. Okay. That would be my feeling. You know, I think you and I, like you said, we've balanced each other out. I feel like we've become a unit.
True.
And I think it's really, really important and really healthy, especially before you have kids.
Yeah.
Because outcomes... Ben
a lot
Solo.
Of things you wouldn't have thought.
Yeah, like Luke and or Han and Leia had Ben Solo. And I think there's enough text in the script of The Force Awakens to really put together that their relationship really fell apart when Ben turned to the dark side. That was like kind of the thing that really ended it. And Leia probably doubled down on building the resistance. And Han Solo went back to smuggling because... They were both in chaos, and I do think as a couple...
Well, he may have needed the money.
Well, you know what? He could have gotten money not stealing things, but I think he went back to being a pirate. Because I do think when we're... And this is all of us. When we're in crisis, we go back to our most natural selves, even if some of those things are not healthy, because they're like... It's the immediate, like, I feel comfortable here because this is what I know.
Right.
You know, like, honestly... When I'm really stressed out and all those things, I think I go and create things and put together a new Pink Milk logo or whatever it might be. My husband here picks up a Windex bottle and starts cleaning, but it's what, which are minor,
it's
like,
true.
But it's what we do. It's our uh-huh. things that like, I might draw a picture. I might doodle. I might make something.
Mine is if I'm out of balance, mm-hmm. I want my environment to be back in balance. So I just... Clean,
yeah.
clean, clean.
But, like, what do you think, like, what are some of the things that, like, kids have brought to us? Because Lord knows, look, we do not fight. Have we had a fight or two
of
in
course,
our life in 16
has.
Years? Yes. But I don't think we had fights until we had kids.
No, we probably have more louder discussions, as yeah. I would call them, since kids have arrived. Because,
you know what I would call them?
You know, looking, there's a whole host of reasons
I'm looking
why.
At my king and queen right there.
Mm-hmm.
I would call them aggressive negotiations.
Oh, okay.
Tom doesn't get that reference, but that's okay.
It's a Star Wars thing. But yeah, because, you know, they're just, for a whole host of reasons, sometimes you're stepping on each other because you're trying to protect the other person.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you're just in the moment and you disrespect the other person because you're trying to focus on the immediate situation. You know, let's face it, you know, we've adopted children, so they come to us and they have brought traumas
mm-hmm.
that we are trying to solve and successfully doing so.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, unfortunately, you know, those become part of who they are and who they will always be, and that's okay.
Yep.
But, you know, there's a lot, you know, if you think about it, you know, we've been through a lot, you know, in the last couple of years with regards to that. But I think, you know, we've always, you know, kept our feet on the ground and kept our heads straight up and,
yep.
you know, we have a goal.
I think it comes down to what you said at the top of the show about having respect and
mm-hmm.
like not wanting to necessarily be right.
Right.
Because I do think what happens with when you have children together is I think that is where some of those foundational differences really start to show themselves
mm-hmm.
because what you may think is one way to handle a certain situation, I'm going to think something very, very differently. And this is any couple would feel this way. And I
mm-hmm.
think it's really difficult when it comes to kids because you care so much that you're, you know, if you're anything like me, I'm constantly under the fear that I'm ruining every misstep is like, oh, just ruin that relationship. Like I live under the threat.
I think every parent feels that way though.
Possibly.
I really truly do. They're like, oh, if they're a good parent, they at least whatever
yeah.
happened, in my opinion, maybe I shouldn't have made that statement the way it is, but if it's a parent who's all in, who really, mm-hmm. you know, didn't double down, it's my way's the only way,
nope.
you know, after you're going to look back and be, could I have done that differently? What should I have done? I want to do this differently next time. That kind of thing. We are those parents.
Yep.
You know, hey, the result will still be the same. Sometimes you just have to be the way it is. Sometimes they don't understand why you're making the rules. And you know what? Sometimes, and I know you don't like this, but I pull this. Because again, being raised from the children of immigrants from Ireland. Hey,
the nuns.
By the way, they were... grew up in the Bronx, New York.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes it is what I said it was.
Because I said so.
And that's it. It's because I said so. I don't have time. You don't know all the other things in my head that mm-hmm. are going on, Mr. Child. I told you to put your shoes on because you're walking out the door. You don't understand yep. that we got to be there at a certain time, even though you've been told 5,000 times, but that's okay.
You know, I think, and this is something...
Why do I have to fix my hair? Well... Because I said so.
But this is something interesting. Like, you have this foundation built in you that your family is always going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like there is a confidence to be able to have that hard of a line because you know that your family will always be around.
Mm-hmm.
I think I am constantly in the... I don't know if I want to say the word fear because it's not fear that I'm feeling.
Mm-hmm.
But... I don't have this foundation that your family is always there with you. Like, I've never had a relationship with my brother. My father walked out on me this year. My mother and I's relationship...
Last year.
Oh, God. You know, my mother
and
I... We
don't need him in this year.
My mother and I's relationship has not been the same since my parents mm-hmm. got a divorce. This has been pushing on 6 years ago. It's just not the same.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't have that fundamental understanding that your family always sticks with you. And that's something that... In my opinion, mm-hmm. you are so good at coming back down and like reminding me that I am not mm-hmm. like my family.
I do want to say one thing, though. I want to qualify something real quick. Remember, our kids are very young.
Yes.
So, I mean, some of those things, I'm not going to be having a conversation like that with a 30-year-old. This is the way, brush your hair, brush your teeth. You know, this is the formative years, and we learned in the 40-plus hours of class that we needed to go to before getting a being licensed to adopt, that kids want structure. They need structure. So in that particular example, it's the structure that's more important than anything else. Plus, they don't understand that I don't want to be in the car rushing to school and speeding in roads that make it unsafe for other children and things like that. So
I agree.
And if you guys didn't pick up, I'm the morning dad. Morning dad.
Afternoon
evening
dad. But I think that's something that Leia probably honestly wasn't good at mm-hmm. for Han. I don't feel that like Leia really was able to underpin Han and that he was okay who he was and that he didn't need to be where he was before. And
So you're saying it's all her fault?
Nope.
Wow. I'm just going to move my chair over here.
But yeah, you know, like, I mean, they still clearly had this understanding and love for one another, but I mean, it was heartbreaking. I mean, it caused a lot. Are you a fan of the fact that the writers made a choice to have that relationship not work out? Because that is not
really, to be honest with you.
You know, Star Wars is very much a fairy tale.
Right.
And that is not a fairy tale ending.
Yeah, I felt it was unnecessary. It was kind of like a backhanded hit to the viewer, truthfully. Because not only did they do it, but they didn't really explain it. So here it is, years later, you're on a podcast talking about it.
Yep.
And I, you know. That wasn't, it's the fairy tale that you mentioned. So, you know, so no, I wasn't a fan of it.
Yeah, I'm curious. Like, I don't know how I feel. Like, I love it in one hand. And when I first saw The Force Awakens, I really loved it because it was so unexpected. And I kind of liked that.
It was unexpected and yet.
Expected.
Not really. Exactly.
Well, just like,
of course.
Yeah, because like I said, I don't think they had a very good foundation to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So that was. You know, like in Legends, they had three kids, a set of twins, and then a younger one.
Really?
And they stayed together.
Okay.
The two boys eventually died. They may have killed each other. I can't remember.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, but they ended up staying together.
Okay.
And I personally never connected to Legends as a collective blanket statement because I felt that like Luke never got like they just went back to A New Hope Luke, who was you know wide-eyed and saw nothing but good and everything, and everything in Legends just felt it was too perfect. And so like I was really appreciative that they made something less perfect. I don't know how I feel about that choice now that the whole sequel trilogy is done.
Right.
I don't know. You know, I was like,
well, maybe they'll reboot it. Can you imagine?
They're not rebooting it. And you know what? As someone who online, I think the thought is that I don't like the sequel trilogy. It could also be because they go on the air and say, I don't like the sequel trilogy. But I don't dislike it either. You know, I really care about Star Wars, and it didn't land for me the same way that I hoped it had. I am looking forward to like another 5 years away from it when I just know it what it is and those expectations that I don't as much. No one cannot bring expectations to these things. It's impossible. Like even a casual fan, you had expectations of what it was going to be about. And you can't do that. It's been around for too long.
Well, and also remember, I waited 30 years for it.
Yeah, no, we all did. And we all waited.
Yeah, and then to have me think, wow, well, they weren't together. Okay.
Yep. So once that shock leaves, you know, maybe it'll all work. But, yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
I was curious, like, about their relationship. And if you had a piece of advice for Han and Leia back on Echo Base on Hoth, when they're yelling and screaming at each other, what would you tell them?
I would tell them, would you rather be right or would you rather have your relationship?
And what if they said right?
Well, then I would tell them to save their time and energy and move on.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my opinion.
Yep.
That's it. Hey, I've been in plenty of relationships where I wanted to be right. So.
Yep.
And, well, they're not here now, so I guess I didn't do the right thing, but I did the right thing for me at the time.
You know,
they weren't worth having to focus on the relationship. So, but that's also maturity and growth, and you have to go through the wrong ones. Well, I had to go through the wrong ones. Hey, there are plenty of people right up from the get-go, and they got it.
Yep.
You know,
so, you know, there's...
we're also guys, and I wanted to be free too. So,
yeah,
you know,
he won't say what I would say about that, but yeah, no, I'm with you. Like, I think.
I'll go off and have fun and have a good time.
Yeah.
But that was then.
This is now. This is all the fun he needs.
Tungsten.
No, I think I would tell them to, you know what? Keep it casual. If it's good and you're having fun together, you know, just hang out at night every once in a while together. But I do not think they should be in a relationship with one another. I think also... Honestly, imagine that bickering and you're a Force-sensitive child who's already struggling with the dark side.
You can make them be quiet.
This never made it into the script, but like in Legends, this is one of the things that didn't work for me in Legends in general was like the galaxy found out that Luke and Leia were the children of Darth Vader and it was all fine.
Mm-hmm.
In canon and Bloodlines, probably my favorite Star Wars book ever. The galaxy, Leia was no longer the superstar that she once was because she was the daughter of Darth Vader. And so people like felt that she was evil and she was just going to turn. And that is a much more realistic exploration of what it might be like. And in the story, they never told Ben until he's much older that Darth Vader was his grandfather. And I think that goes back to, like I said at the beginning of the show, of you should just be honest with your kids. Don't hold things from them. You know, we can all figure out a way to let them know the truth at an age appropriate way, but it's very unhealthy to not give your children their whole story. You know, we have done our best. All of our kids know everything we know about them. Unfortunately for us, and unfortunately, more unfortunately for them, we just don't know their whole history.
Right.
We only know what was documented. We only know the parents' perspective, their bio parents' perspective, and then sadly, like police court and court cases, police statements and court cases. That's what we know. And the little bit of things that our children told us that most of them don't remember anymore anyways. But I do think because we talk about these things, we make it okay to talk about these things. Our hope is that there is a trust built there, just like us, like you and I think really, honestly, we trust each other implicitly. And I do think that is some on air.
just kidding.
Honestly, like the fact that I know I can tell you anything, I know I can tell you the things that are going to make you upset. I know I can tell you when I screw up, and I tell you really quickly when I mess up about whatever it may or may not be. And sometimes it's important, sometimes it's not important. But you have to have trust in that relationship mm-hmm. that they're not going to go anywhere.
I was
going to
say, it's not like...
You know, when I...
I just asked you to tell me what you spend so I can log it in the log. That's really it.
You know, like I went and bought a new car without... Oh my God.
That was in the early part of a relationship. We were
I'm not even talking about that. I found out someone who I worked with or who I know that I worked with in the past... that I still keep in touch with a little bit, like bought a car without even telling their other partner. I'm like, I don't, wait, what? Like, I just can't comprehend.
I've had a friend in the past that happened, and this was a different time, obviously.
Don't
matter. And the father made the mother return it.
Yes.
I just, again, this was probably 80s, 90s, I don't know.
If that's you, I'm just going to tell you right now. Mm-hmm. Get out of your relationship.
Hey, even Dave Ramsey and Sharon Ramsey, and everybody knows the Dave Ramsey show, they have a rule that they can't actually spend more than $600, at least without consulting
budget?
With the other person.
Can I spend that much?
They have millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars. And the last time I checked, you did it. So when you do, you could raise that limit even if you want.
Okay. Right now, I think my limit is about $5.
I don't know that it's you should read. I just asked that we have it written down. That's it. So we can keep a budget.
Well, you know what?
Speaking of budgets,
do you have something to tell our listeners, Thomas?
I do, folks. As you probably hear every week, we have something called a Patreon.
He says something called a Patreon because Tom doesn't really understand it.
But I got some notes. So anyway, listen, patreon.com/servingpinkmilk. If you'd like to continue to hear our voices and experience our show as time progresses, we'd be very grateful if you would show some support by either one of two things. First, you could go ahead and support us. There's a $5 tier where you get a little behind the scenes of what's going on. You get the ability to reach out and give some show suggestions to us. You also get the ability, I know there's one more thing you get. You get
private Discord channel.
Oh, yes. The thing I can never remember. You get that. You're welcome. Or you could just throw us a tip. Throw us a tip like you throw your bartender or your server mm-hmm. a tip. Just to let us know that we're going to ensure prompt service, I guess. I don't know.
Thank you for a glass of pink milk.
So it's just a way to support the show. So if you're interested, we'd be grateful.
Check the show notes down below, wherever you're listening or watching this. And in the meantime, you can follow me and the show at Serving Pink Milk on Twitter and on Instagram. And thank you, Thomas.
Thank you, Brian.
Star Wars / non-Star Wars talk. Classic Pink Milk.
Well, thank
Love
you
it.
For thanking me.
And with that, are you ready, Thomas?
I'm ready.
The Sesame Street gang and I, we're going to go ahead and drink up.
Drink up.